I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1. For the Advent season, I thought I would take a break from our study of 1 Peter and focus on Advent themes. I hope that's all right. We're going to look this morning at Matthew chapter 1, one verse, if I can find it. Didn't turn enough pages. Matthew 1 and verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You all know the context of this text, I believe, at least most of you do. In the background of this text, there is a young couple named Mary and Joseph who are engaged to be married. And while they're waiting their wedding day, Mary comes to Joseph one day and she says, "I'm pregnant." And of course, Joseph is alarmed by this because he hasn't been with Mary. And he's confused. He's shocked. He's upset. You probably know what he's thinking. And yet, she says to him, "I haven't been with any man. An angel visited me. The angel Gabriel came to me, and he told me that the Holy Spirit would conceive in my womb a child by a miracle." Now, at first, Joseph didn't believe this. Would you? That would be a hard pill to swallow. But that night, we're told, right before the verse I read, Joseph lays down his head to sleep, and the angel Gabriel visits him in a dream. And he tells him, "Don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. The child that she's conceived is of the Holy Spirit." Exactly what Mary had told him. And so he wakes up the next day and he takes her into his home as his bride. And you know the rest of the story. They live there in Nazareth. A little bit later, they move down to Bethlehem for the census that the governor required, where Jesus, their son, is born, right? But notice in our text, let me read it again. The angel tells Joseph, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." We often ask a question, what's in a name? You ever heard that? What's in a name? Expecting that the answer to that question is not much. But that's not what Joseph thought when he was told to name Mary's son Jesus. Have you ever wondered why Joseph so quickly obeyed the angel and stopped worrying about Mary's unexpected pregnancy? The answer is right here in our text this morning. Perhaps to our untutored, non-Jewish ears, we don't hear exactly what Joseph heard when the angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus." We ought to get some clue, though. However, when we hear the angel give the reason for that name, he said, "For he shall save his people from their sins." In the Greek, the name Jesus is Jesus. Jesus. And it's the equivalent, Jesus in Greek is the equivalent of the Hebrew Joshua. Did you know that? Joshua and Jesus mean the same thing. What does Joshua mean? If you were listening when I preached through Joshua a few months ago, Joshua, you know, you heard me say Joshua means God saves, or simply Savior. So what does Jesus mean? The name Jesus means Savior. That's what it means. Mary's child was given the name Savior because he would save his people from their sin. And when Joseph heard that, he had no problem taking Mary to be his wife. The angel had just given him the best news he had ever heard. You see, faithful Jews like Joseph had been waiting for a Savior for a long time. When the angel came to him that night, he heard an announcement that Jews had wanted to hear for generations, and that Joseph had longed to hear his entire life. The Messiah, the Savior, was finally going to be born. And wonder of wonders, Mary was going to be his mother. That's what he heard. One of my favorite Christmas songs is, you probably heard me say this before, is "O Holy Night." One of my favorites. Brings out this hope of salvation that Joseph had and which Christ fulfills. I promise I won't sing it to you, but I am going to quote it. All right? "O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. 'Twas the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long," here's my favorite line, "long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt his worth." Beloved, in Christmas season, do you have the kind of joy and enthusiasm that Mary and Joseph must have had on that night in Bethlehem? Not just the joy of delivering a child, but the joy of knowing that the Savior has come and that the pining is over. We are all, at least we all were, lost in sin, condemned to die. But our Savior, our Rescuer, has come and we're condemned no more. Right? Christmas means that the long-awaited Savior has at last come into the world to save us from our sin. Folks, we can rejoice and be glad today and every day because Jesus is the long-awaited Savior. Understanding this truth is increased, bolstered, if you will, if we look to the Scriptures to see the hope of the Hebrew people and the plan of God in history to save His people. You need to know today, first of all, that God planned from all eternity to save us through Christ. Did you know that? When God created human beings, He placed them in a garden paradise where there was happiness, peace, and comfort. No suffering, no pain, no evil. But our first parents, you know, our first parents fell from their lofty estate because of pride, because of a desire to be independent from God. The curse of death fell upon them because of their sin and their guilt, and all of their descendants were plunged into sin and misery. But God knew and expected, did you know? God expected these terrible events long before they occurred. He was not caught by surprise when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, when they fell. He anticipated the fall from all eternity. And He planned from all eternity to send a Savior to redeem His people from the curse. Look back at Revelation again. We read from Revelation earlier in our service. But look at Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, verse 8. It says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Talking about the beast, the evil beast. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. This is one place, maybe it's rare, but one place where I believe the King James actually gets it right. Because that phrase, from the foundation of the world, in the actual Greek text, that phrase comes at the end, right after the word slain. There are reasons that aren't that good to me why some scholars want to move that phrase up to earlier in the verse. But in the Greek it says, he was slain, the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. I think that's right. That's what the text actually says. In the eternal mind of God, Christ was already slain for our sins before any of us were born. Not literally, and that's why I think some people want to move that phrase upward, thinking that it makes it sound like Jesus was literally slain ages ago, long before creation, but that's not the point. The point is that this was an eternal plan of God. Christ coming into the world and his subsequent death on the cross were no accident. They were planned. That's the point. Look over or back at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Got my pages sticking together, sorry. Ephesians chapter 1. Notice verses 4 and 5. I'm going to back up and start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him, the him is Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Not only did God plan to send the Savior from all eternity, but listen, if you are a believer, God planned to save you from all eternity. Turn over to 2 Timothy. It only gets better. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Speaking about God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Notice, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. You see that? That ought to knock your socks off. God saved us by grace, by unmerited favor, not because of our works. And this grace was planned for us and given to us in Christ before the world began. That's why Christ will say to his church someday, he's going to say, according to Matthew 25, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You hear that? We are all lost sinners, but we can rejoice because God planned from all eternity to save those who believe in Christ. Secondly, I want you to see this morning that coming to Christ as Savior is the culmination of redemptive history. Y'all have heard me preach on this theme more than once, especially when we went through Hebrews. I hope you don't ever get bored with it because I'm not ever going to stop talking about it, right? But the coming of Christ as Savior is the culmination of redemptive history. The plan to send Christ as Savior didn't make itself known to Joseph for the first time 2,000 years ago. The Lord had already worked in history for many, many generations to reveal his plan and his purpose and to prepare his people for Christ's arrival. And that should make our hearts all the more glad. For Christ's coming was the culmination of a marvelous history of redemptive activity of God. And it was the satisfaction of hopeful anticipation on the part of Israel and the church. Turn all the way back to Genesis. I promised my Sunday school class this morning that I would take them to Genesis chapter 3. We started chapter 1 in our lessons. But in Genesis chapter 3, this is Adam and Eve have eaten the forbidden fruit. God is pronouncing curses on the snake, on the serpent, and then Adam and Eve after that. Excuse me. He curses the snake last, sorry. But notice in verse 15, speaking to the woman, Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He," that is her seed, "shall bruise you," the serpent, "on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." This is what we call the first announcement of the gospel here in Genesis 3:15 that took place in the garden right after Adam and Eve sinned. There's a solemn promise here that the woman's seed would destroy the works of the devil. You see that? Now flip over to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. John chapter 12, and look at verse 31. Jesus says in verse 31, John 12, "Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." As Christ's crucifixion loomed near, we're told by Jesus that the devil is cast down. You see that? Here it is. Jesus has come into the world to fulfill that promise made to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 so long ago. But there's more. All through the Old Testament, we see God working to bring redemption. Later on, God called Abraham to leave his country and to go into the promised land, right? And he promised him that through his seed, there's that word again, through his seed, the whole world would be blessed. Later, Moses fled from Egypt, and he embraced his Hebrew heritage. Why? Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and notice verses 24 through 27. "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him," Christ, "who is unseen." Moses looked forward to Christ and wanted to serve him even then. You see? Think about the Old Testament sacrificial system. All the animals taken to the altar day after day, and especially on the Day of Atonement. That sacrificial system, we know, according to Hebrews and other places, that sacrificial system was just a foreshadowing of Christ's once for all sacrifice. Old Testament prophets predicted the coming of a Savior, Emmanuel, who would redeem God's people. Let's look at one of those. Lately, going through 1 Peter, we've looked at Isaiah 53 several times. But let's look at it one more time today. Isaiah 53, just a couple of verses. Verses 3 through 6. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 3. He was despised. The servant mentioned in the earlier verses. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell on him, and by his scourgings we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. This is the Savior that all Israel longed to see. Joseph knew all of this. He too longed for the culmination of redemptive history because he knew that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. Joseph knew that. And when he heard the angel speak, he rejoiced and he was glad because he then knew that the child in Mary's womb was and is that Savior. Amen. How about you? Are you rejoicing today? Does it thrill your soul to know that God planned from all eternity to save you and to send Jesus into the world to bring your salvation to pass? Are you someone who longs for a Savior because you know in your heart that you are a sinner who cannot stand before a holy God on your own? And do you find your longings met in the person and work of Jesus Christ? Are you glad this morning at the prospects for the future that this truth gives you? I love that verse in Jeremiah. You probably know it too. Where God tells the people through Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that a great word? The salvation Christians have in Jesus guarantees us a wonderful, peaceful, joyous eternity in the presence of a loving God. What could be better than that? So rejoice, beloved. Rejoice and be glad during this Christmas season, today and every day, for there's something to be glad about. Amen. But perhaps you are someone here who's not glad about that because you don't know Christ as your Savior. Perhaps Christmas is simply a day for you to be close to family. That's all Christmas means to you. Or maybe it's that one day a year that you decide to be religious and come to church, right, to give some thought to God. I hope that today, if that's you, that today you will give some thought to this. You are a sinner. Someone who has done evil in God's sight. Someone who is in fact himself evil in God's sight. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. All of us, myself, yourself included, deserve the holy wrath of God. God hates sin, beloved, and he will not let sin go unpunished. He wouldn't be a good God if he did. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because that's the day we purpose to recognize that Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world, right? That's what Christmas is. But why did Christ come into the world? For the express purpose of going to the cross to give his life as a substitute for sinners like us. For God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that glorious? That's the good news. Christ died for sinners. He died for all those sinners that God chose before the foundation of the world. All those sinners who would believe in him and repent of their sins and follow him. Won't you receive him today? Won't you turn to him and believe in Christ and know the forgiveness of your sins and escape the fires of hell? Christ is the long-awaited Savior. He is the one God the Father sent to rescue sinners from their own evil ways. Will you reject him? Will you walk out of here today without taking advantage of the grace and mercy that God extends to you in Christ? Don't let that happen. Trust in him this morning. Repudiate your life of sin and rebellion that threatens your eternal soul. Turn to Christ for forgiveness. Believe he died on the cross for your sins. For your sins. And become his disciple. Then the promise he made, that Christ made, will be yours. Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Let's pray.